Blog Talk Radio.
Good day on this wonderful Wednesday, and also Earth Day. Happy Wednesday to you. This is your host, Coach Jessie. And I am so glad to share with you today on this day what I have learned and I've come to know years ago as I studied health and nutrition. I just want to share with you what I've learned many years ago about no one diet being perfect for everyone. What's good for the goose is not always good for the gander. And as in the words of Hippocrates, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. Okay, today's topic, celebrate Earth Day. Live healthier at home. We are spending a lot of time in our homes lately, people. Some of us are not. Some of us are working. Some of us have been considered essential workers. And so it's just wonderful to know that we can do things at home that will help us and help our environment as well, right, in the comfort of our own home. So today marks 50 years since the inception of Earth Day. And we've got a long way to go, but we're making progress. We're making progress towards healthy and health and sustainability. Also, if you've ever planted anything, that helps in and of itself. I'm just going to share with you today a few things that you can do right in your home to help the environment, to help your air quality, help your sleep, help everything in your home. So let me just give you a little bit of facts in reference to Earth Day and how it started out 50 years ago. There's a National Environmental Policy Act, PA or NEPA, whatever you want to call it. It's an environmental law. It was passed back on the first day, New Year's Day, 1970. And the law ensures that communities have a voice in decisions and can protect themselves from dangerous, rushed, or poorly planned federal projects by mandating environmental reviews and allowing for public comment and disclosure. In other words, you've got a voice, so speak up. The Clean Air Act of 1970 controls pollution that's harmful to people and the environment. Since then, the law has reduced emissions of key air pollutants by 73%, saving hundreds of thousands of lives a year. The Clean Water Act, 1972, ensures our drinking water is safe. Don't know about that. I'll talk about that. I'll touch on that a little bit later. And it ensures that our water is safe and protects rivers, lakes, streams, and other water bodies from destructive pollution. One of the most popular environmental laws in U.S. history, and it has contributed to steady progress in cleaning up our nation's waterways. But we're going through a lot with our current sitting administration and what's going on with the it's just a lot of things that are going on and what the administration unveiled earlier this year that would negatively affect nearly one in every five streams. So this is something that we have to use our voice for. The Endangered Species Act, extinction is reversible, and the United States has recognized that and also did in 1973 what no other country had done before, establishing a commitment to protect and restore the species that are most at risk of extinction. So moving on to the Toxic Substances Control Act. These are a lot of things going on in the 1970s. It was created in 1976 to give the Environment Protection Agency the authority to protect the public from unsafe chemicals. And goes on with here in this year, and Earth Justice Environmental Defense Fund investigation found that the current administration, their EPA is approving hundreds of new chemicals each year without giving the public access to important health information or opportunities to provide input. So we've got to find out what's going on and use our voices and vote with your dollars. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency was established back on December 2nd in 1970 as the federal agency responsible for writing and enforcing regulations to protect public health and the environment. The EPA's publicly stated mission is to ensure that all Americans are protected from significant risks to human health and the environment where they live, learn, and work. So you've got a lot of acts and a lot of things that were signed into law to help and better protect our environment and the planet that we live on. So let's move into what you can do in your home to better live, breathe, and live cleaner and basically detoxify your home, a healthier home. So here's certain ways that you can detoxify your home and live healthier in your home. You can plant a plant. It helps fight pollution indoors. There are many plants that you can look up online that help with the air quality in your home. So just plant a plant or just go ahead and buy one because it helps with your indoor pollution. Remove aerosol sprays. We've got this thing now that everybody wants to detoxify, but all these aerosol sprays that we're using is not healthy for our environment. It's not healthy for our indoor air quality, so remove them. They release propellants into the air, such as isobutane, which is the equivalent of lighter fluid. That's not something that we want to practice or use in our homes, do we now? Okay. Replace your light bulbs, and there are... It's debatable. What do you use? CFLs? What do you use? LEDs? It's all in the air, and it also depends on what you want to use it for. But CFLs, compact fluorescent lights, they're four times more efficient than incandescents and last up to 10 times longer. So the verdict is out that you just get rid of the incandescents. But now as far as using CFLs or LEDs, that's debatable. We'll get into some of what they offer a little bit later on. Be antibacterial soap. Antibacterial soap is not good. I know that's what they're saying by antibacterial because it kills bacteria, but also these registered pesticides kill the good bacteria, not just the bad. We don't want to kill both. We just want to kill the bad. Just good old-fashioned soap and water to wash our hands for 20 seconds is good enough. Filter your vacuum. Ensure your vacuum is sealed and equipped with a HEPA filter to help keep dust out of your air. Use low or no VOC paint. Indoor air is up to five times more polluted than outdoor air. Using low or no volatile organic compounds, VOC paint, can improve indoor air quality. Tap your tap. Filter your tap water so you're not consuming harmful levels of lead. Also, in certain municipalities, they add fluoride and chlorine to the water. You don't want to drink that, and you don't want to bathe in it either. So my recommendation, which is what I did recently, is install an entire water filtration system for my home. It's worth it because in the long run, you can drink right from the tap, first of all. Secondly, you're not polluting the environment with all of those plastic bottles of water that perhaps has been sitting in that bottle for a long period of time, and especially the warm weather is coming up when it's exposed to heat, all of the chemicals from the plastic leaches into the water, and then you do what? You drink it. Tap your tap water. Just put a tap on it and use the water from your tap. Filter it, in other words. Open up your windows. It might be too chilly at times, but when you know it's going to get warmer and the sun is out, just open it for a little bit, let some fresh air in. It helps circulate fresh air throughout your home, and indoor air quality can contain higher concentrations of pesticides than outdoor air. Give composting a go. Now, I'll have a talk about composting. I started to do my old-fashioned or homemade composting years ago. It was an epic fail. Why? Because I was not consistent. I did not continue to circulate the compost. You have to do that with the soil, and I even bought, things that would irrigate it better. But you've got to be diligent about it. You also have to be patient. But once you have it, you can. And if you don't want to be too creative, buy yourself a compost bin. But it's simple and it's effective in recycling. It's a wonderful recycling method, and everything goes back into the earth. And last tip for detoxifying your home, and I'm going to get into water and light bulbs. Many shower cleaners, clean your shower, just first of all, clean it, but clean it safely. Many shower cleaners contain harsh chemicals that leave a residue. So when you or your child, if you have small children in the home, when you take a bath, you're literally soaking in those chemicals, especially if you take long hot showers. Not good. So you want to use safe cleaners and do what I do, baking soda and vinegar. Make your own concoction of vinegar, water, castile soap, and essential oils. Spray that and add some baking soda. There you have. That's it. It's just as simple as that. All of these chemicals that we're using, it's leaching into our air, our blood, our because we bathe and we breathe it in. Not good. So we want to just let all of that go. Moving on to water wisdom, be water wise. They're like, just turn your faucet off when you're not using it, please. When you're brushing your teeth, you know, turn it off while you're brushing. Buy a low-flow toilet if you can. Take short showers instead of baths. A lot of people I know, especially Americans, don't even take baths because we don't have time. We're all so busy. Maybe now during this quarantine, if you are, you have time to sit and soak. But usually we take showers. Some of us take long ones. Some of us take short ones. But consider, you know, changing your shower head to an energy-saving shower head. In your garden, plant native and drought-tolerant plants. Use soaker hoses. Water in the early morning as opposed to in the afternoon, and avoid misting sprinklers. Don't use the misting sprinklers. You know, it just wastes water, basically. Sweep. Don't hose down your driveways and patios. Sweep. I know. It requires energy. It's good exercise. Trust me. I know. I do it. It's good exercise. Sweep. Don't hose down. On your table, consider eating less meat. Producing a quarter pound requires as much as 2,900 gallons of water, according to Cornell University researchers. So consider eating less meat. And refill reusable bottles with filtered water rather than buying bottled water. I already went over that as far as bottled water is concerned, but you want to filter your water and use filtered water. Some people, it's very hard for them to drink water to begin with. So my recommendation is to infuse your water. Cut up some fruit or some lime and or lemon and or other citrus fruit and put it in your water and drink that. So there are many ways that you can get it in and get it in safely. That's what I mean about being water-wise. Also, moving on to what we can do in, well, as far as our home, our water is concerned, I already went over tap water and how dangerous it is in certain municipalities, what they put in it. Filter your water. If you do that, you can drink it and you can also cook with it. Remember to change your filters. For pregnant women and infants, safe water is essential, so just remember to use filter tap water. Make sure that you're changing your filters on a regular basis. Eliminate bottled water if you can. Drink filter tap water instead. And carry water in safe containers. Plastic is not a container you want to carry your water in, folks. Use glass or stainless steel, not plastic. You don't want to use plastic. Get rid of them. Stainless steel or glass. Glass always makes things taste better anyway. Okay, so here's some things that you can do in your home. Here's your healthy home checklist by Environmental Working Group. I love that site, EWG.org, if you want to learn so much about what you can do in your home, in your air, with your water, and also today's Earth Day. So let's get right into it because I'm running out of time. In your kitchen, if you're cooking with nonstick cookware, get rid of it. Replace it with cast iron, stainless steel, or glass when possible. Please, people, get rid of your nonstick cookware. It contains something called Teflon, which is not good. And that when you heat it up, all that leaches right into your food. And then you do what? You eat it. Cast iron, stainless steel, glass, whenever possible. or ceramic. That's another option. Plastic food containers, I recommend glass. Recently, I went out during this quarantine. The Bed Bath & Beyond was still open. Very scanty in there, but it was still open. They have since closed it. But I purchased a glass container set because I'm trying to minimize the plastic that I'm using. And if I do use plastic, I'm making sure that what I'm putting putting in my plastic containers is not hot food. Because once again, all the plastic chemicals leach right into your food. So I recommend glass over plastic, and that's what the EWG recommends as well. Filter your tap water. We already went over this. That's what EWG is saying. This is a healthy home checklist from EWG. Don't drink bottled water. Drink filtered. Any canned food in the pantry, cook with fresh or frozen whenever possible. Nowadays, it's not that easy, but if you are going to use canned food, make sure it's BPA-free. That's bisphenol A. Bisphenol A. That's a toxic chemical that leaches into the food, so make sure your cans are BPA-free. Eat conventionally grown produce. Make sure that your produce is organic whenever possible. And it's more sustainable. Organic food, first of all, uses less pesticide residues. You know, there are no pesticide residues in the organic food, so you want to use organic. You should use iodized salt. Iodine is necessary to maintain healthy thyroid function, so you should use iodized salt. However, the bleached ones, not so much. You want to sea salt is great, and Celtic salt is great as well, but you want to minimize the bleached salt and the bleached sugars, and, well, first of all, minimize the sugar to begin with. Do you eat high-mercury fish? Ask before eating and head for the lower-mercury types, especially for pregnant women and young children. You want to make sure that you're getting in the healthiest fish possible, as fish as possible in your system. Don't use air fresheners. I know in the bathroom it's very tempting because of what we do, that number two, but guess what? You've got to get rid of the air fresheners. Use a diffuser and use essential oils. Don't use air fresheners. Most contain a number of toxic chemicals that contaminate the air that you breathe. And then in combination with what you're spraying, the chemicals, if you do, the chemicals in your shower, ooh, that's a double whammy. Fragrance in your personal care products. Anything that says fragrance, get rid of it. It's safer to choose fragrance-free personal care. If it's something that's fragrance-free, add essential oils to it, you know, and make it fragrance, a fragrance that you like. So always check the ingredients list to be sure. Your shower curtains, avoid vinyl shower curtains if you can. And if you do, if you must use them, leave them outside for several days before using. And less is more. Skipping cosmetics like hairspray and detangler and body sprays and body powder is less toxic and it's also cheaper. Get rid of it. You're home anyway, so nobody needs to smell you. Ah, and moving on, laundry and cleaning your closet. Are your cleaners green? It's hard to know without a full ingredient list, which most products don't have. Find out ingredients by calling the manufacturer to avoid toxic ones. And choose green certified products whenever possible. And if your product labels don't list all the ingredients, don't buy it. You know, most don't. They should, but you have to read the fine print, basically. Read the fine print. You don't need so many products in your home. You can minimize everything by just making your own non-toxic cleaner, like I mentioned before, white vinegar, baking soda. Make sure that you're also using a HEPA filter, microfiber mops and cloths, some elbow, good old-fashioned elbow grease. Use that. Skip laundry products you don't need, like dryer sheets and fabric softeners and chlorine bleach. You don't need them. You don't need them. Skip that, eliminate it, and just use natural alternatives for environmentally friendly detergents, I should say, all around the house. If your home was built before 1978, more than likely it contains lead paint. So when repainting, use a wet sanding technique to reduce dust. If you have foam furniture, you want to make sure that they're very well covered. And you can also ask whether a product is treated before you buy it. Because the foam furniture is treated with toxic fire retardants, and you don't want to do that. So you want to cover them up or just don't want to buy them at all. Use materials naturally fire-resistant materials like cotton and wool whenever possible. And don't protect your fabrics and carpets with sprayed-on chemical coatings. That's not good. If, once again, I'm going into the light bulbs, use CFLs, or if you use CFLs, be very careful, because if they break, they contain some mercury that will, of course, be released into the air. So I would recommend not using them in children's rooms, just in case. If you use pesticides or insecticides, you know that stuff that you spray outside to kill them weeds, don't. Just don't use it. Get rid of it. Organic garden is healthier for kids and pets, if you have any. And that's because they live closer to the ground, basically. They're always in it. And if you have a wood deck, picnic table, or playground set, those made before 2005 likely contain arsenic. So test to confirm and either replace with safer wood or reduce your exposure by sealing it. So there you have your tips, folks. I hope this has helped you. Oh, as far as the debate with LEDs and CFLs, let me just say this. CFLs, they use about 75% less energy than a standard incandescent. And they claim the life ranges from 7 to 14 years at 3 hours per day. So, of course, if you're using for more hours per day, less of a lifespan. They brighten slowly, especially outdoors in cold temperatures. And frequent on-off cycles shorten the CFL's life. So you might want to consider LEDs. There, many of them are dimmable. They use slightly less energy than CFLs, and they claim their life range is way longer, 18 to 46 years at 3 hours per day. So many work with photocells and timers. Some work with motion sensors, obviously. That's basically it. You can look into that. So we're going to move right on to Wednesday's word, the miracle of life. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, Psalm 19:1-3. There is a language in nature that speaks of the existence of God. It is a language of order, beauty, perfection, and intelligence. Some time ago, a scientist told me that when we gave serious thought to the majestic order of the universe and its obedience to unchanging law, he could not help but believe in God. He had become aware that God was speaking through nature. God speaks in certainty and regularity of the seasons, in the precision of the movements of the sun, the moon, and the stars, in the regular coming of night and day, in the balance between man's consumption of life-giving oxygen and its production by the plant life of earth, and even in the cry of a newborn child with its every new dimension of the miracle of life. That's Wednesday's Word by Billy Graham Evangelist Association. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. Remember, be safe on this Earth Day and in this pandemic season that we're in. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. Until next week. Bye-bye.